Hi, brothers and sisters, and welcome to our Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine, and we're the Ingrams, founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
Our mission is to encourage people to get out with God in order to begin to heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord.
We invite you to subscribe to the podcast, share it with others, and help us spread the word of the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 28 of our Journey with Jesus, a Lenten Reflection. Before we get started, like always, we invite you to look down in the description and find the two links there. One is to our 40-day calendar with links out to the Bible, to each of the scriptures that we've discussed and will be discussing. The second is a study guide that does a deeper dive into the topics that we discuss each session. With that, with all of our admin intro stuff aside,
the business has been accomplished.
My Viking, my wonderful husband, yes. Would you like to read this most impactful
scripture? Oh my gosh.
I'm excited.
I get to read this one?
Oh, you're lucky. I'm excited.
I love this one. We are going to be reading... Da, 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 da.
Da, da, da.
Where's the fanfare?
We need confetti. And
we're going to be reading Isaiah 53, verse 5 from the New King James Version. And it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed."
So good. What I love about this, and spoiler alert, we're going to talk about the bookend scripture tomorrow.
Yes, this is the left bookend. We're going to talk about the right
bookend. The right bookend later. Tomorrow. So this is Isaiah. He was a prophet that God gave him this message, this word.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you and I have talked, and you shared a little bit more about what a prophet was, and especially how they were perceived in those times. Do you want to share that?
Yeah, well,
because I think a lot of people know.
We're a little bit spoiled in this day and age because we have the Holy Spirit as believers. We have the Holy Spirit inside us to communicate things from the Lord. He's the go-between between us and the Lord, and those conversations happen directly and internally within each believer. In the Old Testament days, they did not have that. So God used men, they called them prophets, to be his mouthpiece, to communicate a specific message at a specific time for a specific reason to his people. Isaiah was one of those prophets, and prophets were often not liked, because many times the words that they had from the Lord were not good, because the Lord was rebuking the people or chastising them or reminding them of the way that they were living and that wasn't for him. So prophets were not the most popular at that time. And they had a very interesting professional development program for prophets.
That's scary.
Yes. If the prophet stood up and said, "The Lord is telling you this," or "Thus saith the Lord," and then issued a prophecy, if that prophecy did not come true, then they deemed him to be a false prophet and they stoned him to death.
Wow.
There were a lot of rock piles in Israel.
I bet. So I had asked you, well, why would he say anything? And you said, because the Lord said.
And oftentimes prophets were not very excited about delivering the prophecies that were given to them because they weren't good. It just happens that this particular prophecy was one that was amazing because the whole chapter of Isaiah 53, this whole part of that prophecy was so accurately messianic. And Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ was born.
And here he is.
And here he is depicting all of these things. And this whole chapter, the other parts of it, describe to a T the whole purpose, ministry, and crucifixion of Jesus. Mm.
And, you know, you said that typically God would give them a prophecy that would come
true. Oh, yeah, the dual fulfillment.
Yes.
Yeah, because of the professional development program for prophets of Israel, the Lord would give them these dual fulfillment prophecies. So a larger prophecy that the prophet was delivering would have different elements to it. It would have a very short-term type fulfillment so that the Jews could see it being fulfilled and know that the prophet was legitimate. Mm-hmm. And then it would have a longer-term part of it. And it could be different layers where a prophecy was very applicable directly right then. But then also in the larger scheme of things, it became applicable for future things as well, as a type or as a model for something in the future. Or there were two parts of it. There was a short-term and a long-term part of the prophecy. So just a little bit of a history of
prophets. Yeah, and I think it's important because
in the Old Testament. Yeah.
You know, when we talk about this, and we're reading on the New King James Version because the NIV changes it a little bit from what we typically hear. A lot of people will share this scripture. Mm-hmm. What's fascinating to me is they don't often share
the New Testament
1 Peter 2:24, which we will be talking about tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. It'll be Monday.
Monday.
Yep.
Monday. So, you know, this one is saying, when these things happen, we will be healed. So it will be, you know, it will be healed.
So obviously, because this is 700 years before Jesus, mm-hmm. he's looking ahead to the future and saying all of these things prophetically for a future event. So on his end of the spectrum, he's looking forward to the cross. Mm-hmm. And not just this verse, but the whole chapter you can read through yourself. And we encourage you to do that. And notice, now that you know that this was 700 years before Jesus, notice how accurate he is in every little detail. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about delayed fulfillment. This is one of those prophecies that waited 700 years to be fulfilled, and it was fulfilled to the letter.
Right.
It's amazing. Amazing stuff. But remember also, he was putting his life on the line every time he opened his mouth. They were not always super excited about delivering.
Right. And what I loved is that the very last line, by his 39 stripes, we are healed. And this is the foundation of our ministry. And
a pillar, yes, definitely.
A pillar. I think it is...
Probably the pillar.
Yes. Probably a big part of the foundation is something that we share often. In today's society, we hear about a lot of people that are broken and their bodies are failing them because they don't know this. They're listening to everything except for the word.
Yeah.
And they're looking everywhere except for Jesus Christ to know that your body has been healed. Now again, Isaiah is looking forward to that moment. But the moment that he took his last breath,
it was done.
We were healed. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, people say, well, I'm not feeling it. My body still hurts. In the spirit, we've already been healed. Mm-hmm. So now we need to talk to our bodies and remind our bodies and speak healing over our bodies. And I know that's a weird thing. Mm.
Yes.
I know.
Feels very unnatural and awkward.
Talking to your body. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked before in one of the previous podcasts where I started with the little toe. Mm-hmm. And it felt so weird. I'm like, toe, you were healed. That's right. Now get in alignment. Mm-hmm. You know, and that enemy is sitting there going, nope, it hurts. Nope. You know, you have pain. Nope. You've had 3 foot surgeries. Nope. It's never going to be right. I know there's times where I've gone into a doctor and I'm like, well, you've got this, that, and the other, and this is the way it's going to be. That foot was feeling pretty bad. And when I started talking to it, it took a little bit for me to do it. And I think it was because I didn't have that belief. I thought, well, I'll try this. I'll try anything to make it feel better. But I didn't fully, I don't think I fully believed. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I know that's the key to this healing.
Oh, absolutely. And the biggest fight you will ever have is internal. Your body and your physical self wars against your spiritual self until you build that up. And your body will fight and tell you, no, I am not healed. And you have to persevere and overcome that through the Word of God and through absolutely being stubborn and convinced and know that God's Word is the ultimate truth. And you have to push it through. You have to, it is a fight. It is a battle between your spirit and your flesh until you get that built up and it becomes less and less. It's just like building a muscle. If you pick up a tool and you use a tool for the first time, you find muscles that you've never used before because they ache and they hurt until you use that tool continuously for a while. And pretty soon they don't hurt anymore. They get stronger and then it works. Same thing with this. You have to push on and never give up being totally sold out to the truth of God's word.
And knowing that that curse of Adam,
it's been broken,
was broken at the time of the crucifixion. Yeah. So we were no longer, you know, under that curse anymore. And having bodies that were dying.
The whole point of Jesus coming was to bring back the perfect creation of God that Adam messed up. Everything was perfect in the garden until Adam and Eve sinned. And so there's a lot of different viewpoints that you can view the scriptures from, or a lot of lenses that you can look through and see a pattern and see a pathway. One of those is the entire time from Adam to Jesus was the Lord working to redeem mankind and to restore everything that was lost in the garden. And it's been a battle because along the way, Satan has been fighting him each step of the way.
Yeah. And I know we talked before about making sure that we don't let the enemy get into our head and into our minds, because that's the very thing that's going to keep us from getting our body in alignment with the spirit. The more we stray, the more we listen to the enemy, the less we're going to believe that truth and those promises. And I know we hear from people, they said, but, you know, so-and-so died or so-and-so has this. And so they may ask, well, if that was that's God's promise and that's where Jesus died, then why, you know, why didn't this person, why didn't, you know, that? And we know that their faith, they just didn't believe.
They didn't know.
That's good. They didn't know.
A lot of people, I'd say the majority of people don't, they have not been taught. They do not know that this is their inheritance, that they are entitled to this, because religion has for so long strayed from the Word of God and taught something that is actually unbiblical. They have laid that responsibility on God and said that if God wants to, He will heal you. And they have not read the scriptures where it says, by His stripes you were healed. And we'll talk a little bit more about that from the New Testament perspective.
The are and the were.
Because it's really important that you understand the whole complete work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That thing that we call salvation is far more than just the forgiveness of your sins and the fact that you now get to go live with Him in heaven for eternity. It's far more than that. And for a long time, we have been living so far under the privileges and blessings that God has given to us. I want you to listen to this. This is another scripture, Mark 11:23. And this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He said, for assuredly. And now for Jesus to have to say for assuredly, you better be paying attention, because He's telling you something that's super important. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Just let you think about that for a minute. That's Jesus talking to us. He was talking to his disciples physically, But because the Holy Spirit had it recorded for us to read, guess what? That's Jesus talking to us. Before he left and ascended into heaven, he told his disciples and he told us, "All authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Therefore, you go." In other words, now it's yours. Take it.
Yeah.
And do the things that I've told you to do.
I'm going to piggyback off of that with my favorite scripture. Or one of my favorite scriptures, when you say authority, that authority he gave us and said, now you go out and you do this. And we're going to go to Acts 3. This is a story about Peter heals the lame beggar. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement about what had happened to him. And I just think about that. There's so many things in there that are symbolic. You know, they talk about three, they talk about at the right hand. But here's this lame beggar that was lame at birth. They didn't go and pray for him. They went and said, "Be healed, walk."
Yeah. But what did they say before that? "Such as I have."
Yeah, "I will give to you."
"I give to you."
So just as Jesus did, they did, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So we have been given that same authority, that inheritance. Everything that Jesus had, we have. Everything Jesus has, we have. So
that's right.
We're dual heirs.
And I guess that's really the point. I can identify with the uneasiness and the doubt, because I went through the same process coming out of my religion and into the truth of the Word of God, and having to learn to do relationship with Jesus and relationship with God from scratch. Basically, I had to. It's like being a kid and having to learn how to walk all over again. But you have to understand, and you have to make a commitment in your mind and in your heart, that what God says is the final truth. No matter what you feel, no matter what your body tells you, no matter what anybody else says, go to God's word and find out what he says, and then believe that. And just live like you believe it. Because when you do that, you'll see these things in the scriptures and you'll say, "Oh, guess what? If Peter had that, I have that."
Right.
"I have that, and I can give that to people."
Yeah, you can lay hands on them. You can pray for them, even if it's awkward.
Yep.
And someone is like, "What are you doing?" You just pray for them. You know, you can speak healing over them without having to lay hands on them.
Yeah, if it's uncomfortable, whatever.
Right.
But I guarantee you, if people know that you have the ability to heal them, they're going to let you lay your hands
sure.
on them.
You remember the stories of Jesus going into different villages and towns, and they would just flock, and he would be, you know, he would be healing people. There was only, what you said, only a few that's recorded that he didn't heal. But he healed.
He healed them all. Most of the towns that he went into, he healed them all. Everybody that was sick. Everybody in that town that was sick or hurt or injured or had any sort of problem, he healed them all. And then he says to us, "You're going to do the same works that I did, only you'll do greater works than I ever did." You have a decision to make. are you going to believe that more than you believe what religion has taught, more than you believe what you feel, more than you believe what somebody else's experience has been? We always have to define our experiences by the word. We cannot define the word by our experiences.
That's good. We have to leave something for the book.
Oh, there's going to be
the
plenty.
Book in scripture.
There's going to be plenty for 1 Peter 2:24.
Something to let marinate.
Yes. And it's a good thing that we're going to have a Sunday
to let it marinate,
because we encourage you to come back and hear from the New Testament perspective why it was so important the way that Peter phrased his version of Isaiah's prophecy.
I don't think a lot of people know it.
No. A lot of people know Isaiah 53.
I hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't often hear 1 Peter 2:24.
Nope.
So it's good to
because
share
it's,
that.
Because it's difficult. If you have not seen it, it's difficult to process what he's saying without.
Well, I also think that people think, oh, well, he's just saying the same thing. I don't think they see that little thing that we'll share.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We shall we're never done. We're just going to have to stop right here. So, since we're stopping right here, why don't you pray us out, baby?
Okay. This is a good one. I can just feel the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful scripture and this testimony, this word that you gave Isaiah to share with the people, to give them hope, to give us hope as we look back to the Old Testament about things that came true. We know that we don't need to see things to know that your word is truth, but sometimes it just is what some people do need to see. They need to see it. They just can't just believe it. So we thank you for that it draws more people in to your word, to your love, to your healing, the healing that Jesus Christ gave us as he took his last breath and uttered Tetelestai. We just thank you that we have that authority that you gave to Jesus to also heal our bodies. At that moment, we know that we were healed. We know that Isaiah was prophesizing for about that exact moment, that our salvation was there at the cross. All of our sins were washed away, all of our shame, all of our blame, but as we're talking tonight, all of our illnesses, all of our wounds, all of our infirmities were gone. And we just need to lean into that truth, lean into your word. So Lord, I just ask that you continue to draw us closer and reassure us of that truth and help us to stay out of the enemy's grasp, out of those lies, but in your word, in your truth, so that we can speak healing over to our bodies, speak healing over our spirit, our soul, our mind, our heart, all of our parts, so that we can, our temple can be just in a really good space to do your good works in sharing your word with others, sharing your love with others, and believing in it all. We thank you for these words. We thank you for your love. In your precious name, we pray. And all God's kids said,
amen. And amen.
Amen. We are healed.
That's enough to put a shout in a corpse right there. Or if that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. I love that.
Oh.
Well, we encourage you to come back and hear part two.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament.
The other
version.
Bookend.
Yes. The right bookend.
Let's leave them with some perfect peace.
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom. We will see you next time.